Have you heard of a violin called the Stradivarius? They're the most famous violin in the world, and these are really expensive things. It's not something you can just go to Walmart and get for $29.99. You know, one sold for $1 million, another for $4 million, two sold for $10 million, and some won't sell because they're owned by a museum, but are valued at things like $16 million. That's one little instrument for $16 million. And so the question is, why? Why are they so highly valued? What makes that worth $16 million and another worth $29.99? Well, Antonio Stradivari, back in the 1600s, was a unique individual. He and his craftsmen used a particular type of wood that it was painstakingly cut, braced, and put together for an acoustic resonance that was second to none. It took weeks of hard work and dedication to make one single instrument. Hours of toil and attention to detail. And Antonio Stradivarius was considered an archetypal, dedicated, disciplined, hard-working individual. And the results were in the beauty that he created when these violins were played. And it's this whole topic of discipline, dedication, and work that we're going to be focusing on today. We're continuing our series in the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs was written by Solomon, and he shares my heart for conciseness. Proverbs are really just short statements that take the place of long explanations. Or another way of looking at them is like short sayings based on long experience. Now, I'm sure we're all familiar with that elderly relative that has gems of good advice based on wisdom gained through many decades of life. And Solomon wrote the Proverbs based on his long experience. But in this case, it's not just good advice, it's God's advice. The Proverbs are nuggets of truth for when it comes to living godly life. And they often pull from common life events and objects, making comparisons between the ways of the wise and the ways of the fool. And this is certainly the case when we're looking at things like the topics of diligence and work. But we're actually going to take it from the opposite view. We're going to look at what the book of Proverbs says about laziness. And it actually features quite a lot. Indeed, it comes up some 19 times. And in the text, we're introduced to a character called the sluggard. Now, even the name sounds really bad. This word conjures up pictures in my mind of someone who's lazy, can't be bothered, low energy, no enthusiasm for anything. And throughout the book of Proverbs, Solomon paints a picture of what the sluggard does and uses this as a warning for what we could become. Now, we're going to focus in on a few instances where the sluggard appears. And I think we can learn from Solomon's wisdom and apply that to our own lives. But before we dig down, I want to put out a disclaimer. Now, we're talking about work, about discipline, and about the perils of laziness. But what I'm not saying is we all need to go and become workaholics, slaving away at our jobs to the exclusion of anything else. The Bible says a lot about our work, but it also says a lot about work-life balance. And laziness is not synonymous with leisure. We're all called to have times of work, but also times of leisure. But that doesn't make us lazy. We all need time to work, but we all need time to be free of work, to pursue other activities, to bring rest and to recharge the batteries. That's good for your mental health, it's good for your physical health, and it's good for our spiritual health. It's good to rest. God talks about that, the whole idea of the Sabbath. God even does that. We see that in Genesis. And Solomon even talks about rest and about leisure in another book of the Bible that he wrote, the book of Ecclesiastes. But at the other extreme, there's laziness. And it's this that Solomon is focusing on in the book of Proverbs. And he uses it as a warning for us, stopping us becoming like couch potatoes, stopping us becoming ineffective, unfocused, disinterested. What we find is that the whole idea of discipline, touches every aspect of our lives. And Solomon speaks into that. So let's jump in at Proverbs chapter 24, starting at verse 30. It says, I went past the field of a sluggard, past the vineyard of someone who has no sense. Thorns had come up everywhere. The ground was covered with weeds, and the stone wall was in ruins. I applied my heart to what I observed and learned a lesson from what I saw. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man. So Solomon was walking along in the countryside one day, and his eyes happened to be caught by a field that he was passing. And it was full of thorns and weeds. The stone wall that was supposed to surround it had begun to fall down. And rather than just pass it and dismiss it, saying, you know, they need to tidy that up or what a mess, instead, Solomon learns an important lesson from it. I think of my parents back in the UK. They have an absolutely immaculate garden. Plants that are staged to flower at different times of the year. Beautifully sculpted trees and bushes. They even have a palm tree that they manage to keep alive and flourishing in the drab, cold British climate. But to keep the garden like that, they have to spend hours and hours tending it. And that's actually been good in recent months, as it's been a place of refuge for them while we live in this COVID world. They're both in the vulnerable population group, so spending time in the garden really proves to be something that they can do safely. Now, I compare their garden with the garden of our neighbours we had when I was growing up. They were like the owner of this field. Their garden was a mess. They spent no time tending it. And that lack of attention really showed. When it came to their garden, they were just lazy. But when we think about laziness or idleness, we immediately think of the physical realm, lounging around in bed, doing nothing. But there are other sorts of laziness that are just as pervasive in our lives, if not more so. There's a sort of mental laziness or idleness, an unwillingness to think. We don't bother to think for ourselves. We don't think critically about things. Instead, we just turn on the TV, look at a website, listen to the radio, and have someone else do our thinking for us. And before we know it, we're not discerning truth from untruth. But then there's another sort of idleness, spiritual idleness, an unwillingness to face up to spiritual truth. And this can actually be the most toxic of all. An encompassing view of laziness could be that we know that there are things that need to be done, be they things physically, things mentally, things physically, spiritually, but we just never get around to doing them. So as we look at the example of the sluggard, I want us to think about it in terms of these different areas. Now, the first thing that we note is that the sluggard puts things off. The lazy person is always putting things off. Here, it's a little slumber, a little sleep. The sluggard just can't be bothered, so turns on their side and sleeps a bit longer. They just can't get started. It's always tomorrow. And what's the result? Well, poverty creeps up unawares. As soon as it's too late, the chance has gone. It can be so easy to just keep putting things off. And Solomon saw that in this field. He knew that any farmer can't be putting things off. They need to be making the best of the time that they had. If not, then there's no harvest, or at the very least, it's compromised. But for us today, we can't afford to live like that either. We know that there are many things that need to be done at work, at home, in our relationships, our finances, our health. And however much we feel we prefer not to, however unpleasant we find them, we know that they must be done. And it's best to do them today. For tomorrow it will be even harder, and tomorrow brings problems of its own with it. But if that's true in the human sphere, how much more true is it in the spiritual sphere as well? How easy is it to hear what God has to say and just to think, I'll do it tomorrow or next week or another time, but not now? But there's no tomorrow in the scriptures. It's always today. Today, when I hear your voice, says the psalmist, don't harden your heart. When you feel God speaking, don't put it off. Don't do it now, because tomorrow is just going to be more difficult. And I know this from personal experience. In the past, God has spoken to me about certain things, about patterns that need to be changed, conversations that need to be had, and I put them off. And it leaves me just feeling bad, feeling guilty, feeling convicted, but not acting. And as time goes by, those feelings get worse and worse. And what God is asking me to do gets harder and harder. But once I do it, there's firstly a huge sense of relief. Like a weight has been lifted off my shoulders. And I'm left thinking, why didn't I just do this before and avoid the pain and the anguish? Yes, things that can be difficult at the time, but putting it off just makes it worse. And our hearts can become hardened, and we can slip back in our relationship with God. And that's going to impact all areas of our lives. So the sluggard always puts things off, but the sluggard also leaves things unfinished. There's a glimpse of that here in the unattended nature of the vineyard. The sluggard just can't be bothered to look after it, can't be bothered to see it through. So it's just left half finished. But there are other parts of the book of Proverbs that speak of this even more clearly. In chapter 12, we read of the person who goes out and gathers their food to eat, but then just can't be bothered to cook it. And in chapter 22, and again in chapter 26, there's an even more striking example. The sluggard is so lazy that they put their spoon into their bowl to eat, but then just can't be bothered to lift it to their mouth. And in some ways, that's an absolutely absurd picture. Have you ever met anybody who can't be bothered to put their food into their own mouth? So what's the point that Solomon's trying to make? It's this: the sluggard just can't complete anything. Even if they're eating, they just don't or can't go through with it. And it's true of many of us. We just can't finish or don't finish things. It's easy to start things, like a new exercise plan, or start a diet, or start a new pattern of life. But it's hard to finish, though, to finish strong. We leave things unfinished. Even if we start them with enthusiasm, it's just too much like hard work. It's like the person who keeps having new ideas, but never manages to see any of them through. Whatever the craze of the day is, they jump on the bandwagon, but then it just ebbs away. And we can all fall into the trap of becoming the sort of person that never sees things through to the end. We never complete anything. We're always giving up or just abandoning things half done. I think of those half done DIY projects that I have at home. It took me 6 weeks this spring to wash and to restain our deck outside. And it could have been done in a day. Well, then there's the thing that saves our marriage. At home, we have an ensuite bathroom and then a bathroom down the corridor. And over time, Susan, my wife, has taken over the bathroom just down the way. And I've taken over the ensuite. Now, that in itself probably indicates sluggardliness on my part. You know, Susan goes down the corridor, but I just sluggardly plod to the ensuite. Anyway, Susan keeps her bathroom lovely and clean. Mine, not so much. I have to summon up the energy to clean it. And invariably, I leave it just half done. Then, of course, there's the thing that I'm guilty of, but I'm sure many other men are too. And that's failure to take the finished toilet paper cardboard tube off the spindle and replace it with a new one. But let's face it, actually, in most homes, you can actually do that activity while seated. It doesn't take much energy, but so often it just gets left undone. And imagine my delight when Kimberly Clark Corporation, for whom my wife Susan works, came up with a tubeless toilet roll, taking away that job. I did kind of wonder if it was her reporting my activity, or should I say lack of activity, that actually led to them develop it. Now, if we leave things half done in our day-to-day life, the chances are that we're going to do the same in our spiritual lives. We have great ideas. We have plans to revolutionize our walk with God. We're going to lead really committed Christian lives. And yet sometimes it never actually happens. A week later, a month later, a year later, it's forgotten. And the weeds have begun to grow up. And so the sluggard is one who leaves things unfinished. But thirdly, the sluggard finds excuses. There's always a reason for them not doing what needs to be done. I've heard an excuse defined really as like the skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. A reason is a stimulus that causes something to change or to happen. And the main feature of a reason is not to justify, but to explain. But an excuse is a self-justification for doing or not doing something. An excuse exists to justify, blame, or defend something with the intent of absolving ourselves of accountability. And excuses are negative and irresponsible, while reasons are natural occurrences, and if acted upon, can lead to responsible, results-driven behavior. Now, the sluggard is great at coming up with excuses. In chapter 20, we read how the sluggard doesn't want to go out in the cold to sow seed in the field. And then in chapter 22 and 26, they don't want to go outside because there's a lion in the streets. And again, this sounds absurd. There aren't any lions in the street. But Solomon is making the point that the sluggard is always looking for an excuse. And regardless how crazy it might sound, there's always an excuse that the sluggard will find that means they can't do what needs to be done. Now, do we see that character trait in others that we know? Or looking closer to home, you know, can we see it in ourselves? I know that I pray to this regularly. When there's something that needs to be done, we can always find an excuse for not doing it. And that to us, you know, that excuse might be perfectly rational, but it's an excuse all the same. And we can even reason with ourselves and convince ourselves that we're right, but it's an excuse all the same. Now, returning to our deck, you know, one weekend I declared it was too hot to work on it. Another weekend, you know, in my mind, there was too much of a chance of rain to be able to do it. Another weekend, I felt I just didn't have the correct equipment to do it. Another weekend, the squirrels, you know, who we feed on the deck, were later coming down from their trees than normal to get their stash of nuts. So I felt I was timed out. And again, I came up with excuses. And again, excuses can impact not only our physical life, but also our spiritual life. Deep down, many of us don't actually have much trouble working out what God wants of us. It's often in black and white in front of us in the Bible. And we're always looking for excuses not to do it. And we won't face up to the truth. So really we have two or three marks of the sluggard. They're always putting things off. They're always leaving things unfinished. And then they come up with excuses. So where does it lead? You know, what's the end point of that sort of behavior? Well, living like a sluggard leads to restlessness. Chapter 13, verse 4 says that the sluggard craves but gets nothing. There's this permanent feeling of being dissatisfied. We never really get out of life what we want. There's always a feeling of wanting more, and we're dissatisfied in our hearts. But it also leads to helplessness. Chapter 24, verse 13 says, you know, as a door turns on its hinges, so a sluggard turns on his bed. We see that in this passage that we've looked at today. Now, it's not that the sluggard is fond of their bed. It's as if they're actually attached to it. They're hinged to it. They simply can't get out of it. And that's true. If we're lazy and consistently don't do things, we find ourselves in a situation where we cannot do things. We're enslaved to our laziness. And it leads to us feeling useless. But most sadly, living like a sluggard leads to regret. Remember what Solomon said it was that was the result of living like the sluggard. He said, poverty will come upon you like a bandit. Also, did you see that use that Solomon made of that word little? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little holding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit. In other words, it all happens gradually. Somewhat imperceptibly, we don't notice it happening. And then suddenly, it's all too late. And we're left with a feeling of regret. It's more like coincidence that it's the same sort of expression that Jesus uses about his return. Now, how is it that the Son of Man will come again? It's like a thief in the night when we're not expecting it. So here, you know, Solomon is saying that poverty, be that personal poverty, relational poverty, spiritual poverty, will come upon us like a thief. We won't notice it. It all happens so gradually. So then what does Solomon suggest is the answer? Well, we can see the problem clearly, but what do we do about it? Well, interestingly, as is so often the case in the Bible, Solomon tells us to look to creation for the answer. In Proverbs chapter 6, Solomon tells us to look at the tiny, insignificant ant. Proverbs 6, verses 6 to 11 says, "Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief and scarcity like an armed man." Do you see that recapitulation of the warning that we saw before? But this time it's prefaced by a focus on the ant, that tiny little creature that all we want to do is spray a can of Raid at. Nobody has to tell the ant what to do. You don't have to get behind the ant with 10 alarm clocks and a stick or incentivize the ant in order to make sure it gets up in time, to make sure it does the work that's required of it. No, the ant will just get on with its work in its time. And similarly, you don't need to tell the ant about the seasons. You don't need to tell the ant that it's spring, so go and get on with your sowing, or it's summer, go and get on with your harvesting. The ant is always at work. It knows the time and the seasons. No putting off, no half-finished work, no excuses. So where do we go from here? What do we learn from the ant? Well, first, don't put things off. Are there things in your life that you just need to do? What's holding you back from doing them? Yes, in our human life, but perhaps particularly in our walk with our Heavenly Father. If God is telling you to do something, if he's putting a finger on some aspect of your life, go and sort it out now. It might be that we've never committed our lives to Jesus at all. We might have been thinking about it, but have never actually taken the step. Well, now's the time to do it. God doesn't make promises for how long we have on earth. That's why it's always today in the scriptures. If we've not made the decision to follow Jesus and to give our lives to him, we need to decide now, because we have no promises for tomorrow. It might be that we've already made that step and we're already a follower of Christ, but that we have unresolved things in our lives. Maybe we have a relationship that's wrong or broken. Maybe an apology that we need to make, a habit that we need to address. It could be a number of things, but you know what it is. Don't have unresolved things and just do nothing about them. Let's do something about them, and let's do it now. Because there'll be ways that God wants to use us and bless us. But first, we have to resolve the issue that we have now. So let's not put things off, but also let's see things through. We live in a world where we're used to having things instantly and getting instant gratification. We want it all now, and if we don't get it now, we often get impatient. We get fed up and give up. Maybe that's our feeling about our Christian life as a whole. You know, we started with tremendous enthusiasm, but it's turning out much harder than we thought it would be, much harder than we expected or ever hoped that it would be. And we've become disillusioned and just feel like giving up. Well, take notice of the example of the sluggard and realize that if we give up, we'll never get anywhere. God wants us to persevere, to go to the end. And then let's stop making excuses for ourselves. Use a little self-discipline. For some people, self-discipline comes pretty easily. That's the way that we are. We love to be disciplined in avenues of life. But some of us find it much harder. And some of us are very disciplined in one area and then not in another. But if we want to go on in the Christian life, we can't avoid or escape discipline. And if we spend our lives looking for excuses, we'll find them, but they won't satisfy anyone but ourselves. And even then, the satisfaction will be fleeting. And it certainly won't satisfy God. When we look at the sluggard, we realize that whatever we do, we must do it now. So don't put things off. Don't leave things unfinished. And don't be always making excuses. We must take the opportunity while it's there, because the chances are it won't come again. Antonio Stradivarius was, and still is, looked upon as a master craftsman, as a disciplined, dedicated violin maker, unlike any other. But what drove him? Well, he believed that every violin that left his workshop should be as near perfect as humanly possible. Because, he said, God needs violins to send his music into the world. And if it's defective, God's music will be spoiled. What a motivation that was for him and for us. We work and we live for God. God wants the best for us, and we should want our best for him. But Antonio Stradivarius is not the only carpenter or master craftsman in history. Jesus spent the majority of his life working as a carpenter. Hammer, wood, nails, these were the tools of his craft. He got up early, sweated, labored. And the character traits that he honed in his work flowed into his ministry. He was never lazy, never deceitful, never selfish, never putting things off, never doing things in half measures, never making excuses. He set out to complete the work that his father had given him, his ultimate work, to die on the cross in our place. That hammer, that wood, that nails of his craft piercing his hands, so that our sin might be defeated and our fall might be overdone. And the wonder of the gospel is that if we trust in Jesus, his perfect life, true life can be freely given to us. And in spite of the way that we've messed up or been foolish, he forgives. So let's go from here today and learn the cautionary tale of the sluggard, looking at Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Let's press on, not putting things off, not doing things by half, not making excuses, but instead run the race, finishing strong, and allowing God to hone us into what he wants us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd just like to pray for us all as we close. We thank you, Lord God, for this warning through the example of the sluggard. We're challenged by your word. We know there are many occasions where we've put things off that we know need to be done, when we've left things half finished, when we've made excuses for ourselves. I pray for each one of us today that when you speak to us, you would give us the grace to obey, not to put it off. And whatever decisions each of us faces here now, if you're asking something of us, help us to be obedient. We thank you for Jesus, who came into this world to be our rescue. As we live for him, help us to make good use of all that he's given us to your glory. Amen. And just before I close, I just want to speak to those of you who've not yet taken that step of accepting Jesus into your life. God wants a relationship with you. God sent his son Jesus to earth to model living in fullness, to show us what a dedicated life devoted to God is. And Jesus went to the cross to die for our wrongdoing. But it didn't end there. He rose to life again, and in doing so, broke the power of death. And Jesus offers us life, life eternal and life in abundance. And all we have to do is ask him into our lives. Now, up to now, we might have found excuses for not taking this step, or known that we should, but just have put it off. Well, now's the time to change that, to stop making excuses. I encourage you to take that step today. It's the best and most important thing that you can do. And I know that God has transformed my life, and believe he wants to do the same for you. And if you want to take that step today, I encourage you to open your heart to him and just say something simple like this: I want to accept you into my heart today. I don't want to put it off any longer. I want to see this through and stop making excuses. I ask you to come into my life and make me new. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.